With the holiday clock ticking down, it helps to know about the wide selection of holiday-themed gift cards only at the Home Depot. It's better to give than to guess. And the right gift card can help you make sure the home improvers on your list get exactly what they want, even during the final days of holiday shopping. Give the perfect gift with a wide selection of holiday-themed gift cards. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. See store or homedepot.com for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for tuning in. Wow, right now, I just want to give another shout-out to Ursula Rucker. I just got off the phone with her. You can follow her at U Rucker. She is a poet. Don't get it twisted. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. My email is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. But right now, without further delay, we're going to be talking with astrologer Samuel F. Reynolds. He's a practicing astrologer in the heart of Brooklyn, New York. He is trained with some of the most notable minds in the astrological world, like Alan Oken, Robin Zoller, Christopher Warnock. He writes for numerous online and print publications, AOL.com, Tarot.com. He's been a speaker at the national astrology conferences like Moses Seregar's Blast Conference, International Society for Astrological Research's National Conference, and the State of the Art Astrology Conference in Buffalo, New York. The brother got mad skills. He also used to be a preacher. We'll probably talk about that a little bit. He has a master's degree from Temple University. This brother is like a library. I mean, you got a question about socks, he'll probably know. You got a question about the sky, he'll probably know. You got a question about politics, he'll probably know. I mean, I feel stupid around him, but that's why I'm having him on the show, because he's just like mad knowledgeable. It's just crazy. But he's on the line right now. Sam, you're not mad at me, are you?
Why would I be mad at you?
Ursula and I, we were a little scared. We were like, oh, we might have to run and hide because, you know, we had to start the show a little late.
Oh, no, you told me. 11:45.
Yeah, good, good. Well, thank you again for coming
on.
I
didn't know why, but, you know, I know you're a single mom, so anything could happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, it was really because Ursula's music just blew me away in the last week. I've just been meditating on her stuff, so I really just wanted to give her opportunity, the audience opportunity to see the breadth of her work. And sometimes 30 minutes.
Is she on the line?
No, she's probably off, but she might be listening in. She told me to tell you hi, and she gave you a shout-out and everything on the show.
Oh, I miss Ursula.
Well, this
I do.
Is the third
yeah.
time you've been on the show. You miss her? Yeah. Well, you know, shout out to her. Give her a call. Send her an email. Follow her on Twitter.
I do. I do follow her on Twitter. And
okay.
We're friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the third time you've been on the show. And the reason I've had you on the show, yeah, you were on the show 2009, 2010, and now.
That's awesome.
I think it's awesome because every time it's different. I mean, the other two, I listened to the other interviews, and it's different. We always have something different to say. And as I was saying earlier, I feel stupid around you. I mean, you just have, like, so much knowledge about so many different things. I mean, you got to follow this dude on Twitter. Check out his website, Return to the Source. Return to the number two, thesource.net. Check him out. Just mad knowledge, skills. I mean, you're certified as an astrologer. Talk about that. I think you have there's different levels you had to go to. We mentioned that before.
Right. So I'm not officially certified through the NCGR practice. There are four levels with their full certification.
Well, explain the NCGR. Explain the NCGR to the audience before you go on.
NCGR is an acronym for the National Council for Geocosmic Research. And the National Council for Geocosmic Research is among several different astrological organizations that groom and develop astrologers. Because astrology is not a field that's regulated by the state, technically, theoretically, if you read an astrology book, you could jump up and call yourself an astrologer tomorrow or today or whatever. And that is not something that we condone or want to inspire. So there are these different organizations or schools that will train you, like my school, the Astrology Career Institute.com, that will train you in becoming an astrologer. And you can, with my institute, you can get different certifications, but you can also go through NCGR. There's another program or association called ESAR. That is an International Society for Astrological Research. And there is the American Federation of Astrologers. There are lots of different ones, and most of them are reputable. And you can get additional certifications, through multiple programs. So
now,
I'm at level three. So I'm at what would be considered a master's level in that, but I actually have done more PhD work by now, but I haven't gone for that certification.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me.
But you can go for that level of certification.
Mm-hmm. He already has a PhD in my mind.
Oh, I didn't.
Honorary PhD. You got an honorary PhD from Joy Keys, so just flash that around when you go. I'll send you a card and everything. But today.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
I want to talk to you. Let's talk about a couple of things. First, I want to talk about the earthquake that happened on the East Coast. Now, from an astrological perspective, was there anything going on that you knew, like something big was about to happen?
I'm trying to remember. When was that? What was the actual date with
the earthquake?
Because I think there was. What was the actual date? What was the actual date? I've forgotten it.
I forgot, but I remember it was kind of warm outside, and I was standing outside a building, and it shook, and I thought somebody was doing some work inside, and then all these people started running out and were like, oh, my God, what was that, in August? August 23rd?
Well, it seems that the Earth has been very sensitive to a couple of what have been described as supermoons, which are basically points where the moon is closest or farthest away from the Earth, and mainly when it's closest. So when that happens at, say, like a full moon, it really is a point that things just seem to be far worse, that affect the Earth a lot more. So if memory serves, that was around one of those. And so there have been a couple of eclipses that have just been devastating with the weather, like the eclipse last year, last December, just a few days, just at the winter solstice. Like, I knew that was going to be a big one. And sure enough, within 3 months, because that's usually the window for when eclipses kind of manifest, within 3 months, we had the following things happen. We had birds falling out the sky in thousands, not just like a few birds, but around the world. I don't know if people remember that. I thought that was pretty chilling. Then we had the massive earthquake in Fukushima in Japan. And we had a series of other catastrophes throughout the world. And unexplained things, like from the birds to fish, to millions of tons of fish kind of washing up on seashores, as happened in Brazil.
Yeah, and what about the bees, too? Bees disappearing, that's been happening. But I think you got a caller. I want to get a caller in. I think you have a caller, 215 area code. Good morning.
Good morning,
you have
Demi?
A question? Yeah, that's you.
Oh, Samuel, this is Ursula. I just wanted to say hi, and I love you.
Oh, hi, Ursula. How you doing?
Yes, hi. And I wanted to say, you're amazing, and I want to book a reading or something.
Oh, that'd be awesome, Ursula.
Yeah.
Let's do that. You know how to reach me, right? You got my info?
Yes. So carry on. I'm engaged and inspired and listening.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye,
Heart
Virgo.
Look at her, see?
Peace.
She's a Virgo. My mom's a Virgo. I told her we're going to talk about her. We can't do it in secret. It's all on air. It's public, But... But, yeah, the earth, the birds, and the bees, the bees have been disappearing. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that whole issue.
With that. I mean, that has been happening over years. So when you have something like that, it's no one single astrological event. And scientists are now speculating still, but they're closer in speculating that it may have something to do with cell phone signals and cell towers, which makes sense to me, and proving disruptive to their sensitive communication methods. So if that's ultimately the truth, I don't know. Scientists are still pursuing that, but I'm sure it's human originated what's happening.
Let's talk about Obama. You know, he's about to come to the end of his line here, and he's a Leo. We talked about him on the other show. As a Leo, is he being a typical Leo in the way he's handling the situation? Some people don't think he's aggressive enough as he should be. He's not really going out on the edge and like, oh, he's just a pass, he's whooped. I mean, what do you think?
I think Obama is a complex but in many ways consistent man. Obama has, just to give his astrological information, he is a Leo with Aquarius rising and a moon in Gemini. Now, moon in Gemini is a moon that likes to deal with a lot of synthesizing information, mixing it up, mixing things together. He does come from a biracial, multiracial heritage. He had multi-ethnic upbringings from Kenya to, I believe it was in Indonesia, to Hawaii, to being on the mainland. All those different things kind of are the composite view of a person who likes to build bridges. So he is someone who has attempted to negotiate with people who have ultimately proved to be irascible. But he came to them initially with the idea of brokering deals, using that moon in Gemini, using the idea of the Aquarius rising, as someone who's seeking to build consensus and community. The problem is that the American pendulum, political pendulum, has swung very far to the right, and he couldn't get to the center where Obama likes to be. So a lot of people are upset with Obama about, like, well, he's not on the left. Obama's never really fully on the left. So he is pretty much playing the centerpiece that he's been playing and crafting and positioning himself that way. It's not something that is sustainable, unfortunately, with the pendulum so far to the right.
Yeah, there's definitely been a shift in this country about, you know, let's get back to the way things were. Well, for some of us, the way things were weren't that great, so I don't know if we want to go back there,
And the thing is, I mean, we could talk a little later about the future of this country. But, you know, it's not the way things are going to be either, or can be. And as far as him, you know, a lot of people talk about, well, he's very strategic. That's the other thing I wanted to say about him. The man is
Is that related to him being Leo? Is that related to him being a Leo, or is that the Gemini part?
Partly related to a Leo. I mean, like, people can't forget that one of the greatest generals noted in recent human history is Napoleon. A Leo. So, and I think that's important to kind of keep perspective that Obama will hang back and let people like shoot their best shot, and then he goes in. So, for instance, you know, let's take what happened with his Gemini counterpart, Donald Trump. Everyone was talking
Newt is a Gemini.
Yes.
And then, so now they're together.
And Mitt Romney is a Gemini rising. So he has strong Gemini sensibilities too. So, you know, there's a lot of Gemini in the fray. But but what's interesting about, you know, when, you know, Trump the Gemini came at him, you know, in multiple ways, Obama let him really come at him. And then he gave him ultimately what he wanted, and then publicly humiliated him at a dinner. He humiliated Donald Trump. And then interrupted his show and said Osama bin Laden is dead.
Mm-hmm. In your face.
I mean,
now what? Now what?
Exactly.
That's what he was saying. Now what?
And we didn't hear
say
from Donald Trump for at least 6 months.
Oh, he went in a little cave and he had to fix his hair.
Right.
That's what he got done too.
That's exactly what happens. People underestimate his ability to strategize, and a lot of people still like, well, you know, if the election were today, he would lose because, I mean, it's against Romney, it's against this person. I mean, Romney can't get beyond 25% of his own constituency, his own party.
I don't think he's aggressive either. I don't think Romney is like raw, like a boom. Like, I mean, okay, yeah, people keep saying, this is so funny. They keep saying how handsome he is. And I'm like, really, people? This is, I mean, even on the right stations like Fox or different things, even Trump the other day said, you know, he's a very handsome guy. I don't even know why his numbers aren't better. What the heck? So that the, so in order to be the president, you got to be handsome? Look, there were some fugly looking
people
that were president.
Well, that's
kind of the
challenge right now. You know, Rene Guenon talked about the reign of quantity rather than quality. And we're in the reign of quantity right now. I mean, if everything around you, from schools to science to the materialism of consumerism, tells you that the real proof of the pudding is in what you see, why wouldn't we expect that in our politics?
Well, that's what Ursula had a song on her album, you know, like, unplug yourself, you know, don't you believe in, you know, ring the alarm, like, what's going on? The people, what they're showing on TV, what you're reading in the newspapers, the radio, you know, it's like homogenized. That's not reality. And I had somebody else on the other day talking about people don't think, you know, we're living in a regime. We're living in a regime here, but we don't think we are. You know, we're under the illusion that we're free, which we are, but there's still control here. They're controlling the information that we see. I mean, the media is owned by a few people. Different channels,
right,
but it's owned by the same people. You know, people have to really realize that the newspapers, the TV, the radio are owned by a handful of corporations. Corporations that don't even have anything to do with media. General Electric owns media stations. I mean, it's really got to enlighten yourself, you know, like Ursula said, ring the alarm and wake the fuck up. But let's talk about Ursula a little bit. Virgo, what's
okay
up with that? She
what
said on the show
about
that, she says that, you know, a lot of people think she's angry. But I tried to show that she had a softer side. Are all Virgos angry? She said she also has a lot of pet peeves. Is that a Virgo trait or is that just Ursula?
Well, pet peeves might be a different story. anger is a bigger issue. So along the Pisces-Virgo axis, you have a dynamic. And you have a dynamic with Pisces of dealing with spirit, and you have a dynamic with Virgo with dealing with form. So Pisces is attempting to transmute form into spirit. So that's sometimes aesthetics, that's sometimes spiritual pursuit, that's sometimes the idea of attempting to make things loftier or a heightened experience. Virgo will try to transmit the opposite way, which is the idea of spirit or the perfect ideal, and craft that into a form that matches it. So if they start to observe things in their environment that don't really resonate on their fairly sensitive spiritual levels, which are mostly internal, then to other people it sounds nitpicky, critical, and pet peevish.
Mm.
Without recognizing that if, you know, Virgos just want things to be perfect, or they want things to kind of fit correctly. You know, that's, you know, there's a spectrum in that. Not all Virgos want everything perfect, but
yes,
generally the sensibility, the first impulse as emanating from the sun, which is, you know, anyone born during the time of Virgo has a sun in Virgo. They have the idea of making things better, improving.
Mm.
And it's
that's
just like what happens
goal
during the harvest. During the harvest time, which in the northern hemisphere is predominantly, you know, in August and September, it's kind of, you know, sifting the wheat and preserving what needs to be preserved and getting rid of the things that are no longer preservable or don't need to be. So it's the same aspect of consciousness. So what I usually say is that astrology is the metaphorical understanding of God becoming God during the year. So, or consciousness
wow
becoming.
Say that again. You say that phrase again, because that was deep right there.
So I usually say that astrology is a metaphor for God becoming God during the year. So it's the idea of the manifestation of the divine in different aspects of consciousness during the year. So Virgo reflects one aspect of consciousness that is dealing with form, how to kind of preserve, honor, respect, and properly use form and perfection of it. So as we go into the next...
Amy Winehouse was a Virgo, yes? I believe she was a Virgo in September... her birthday, September 14th. I get along with Virgos. My mom's a Virgo. We had a little bumpy beginning, but, you know, I'm a Pisces, and you've done a chart for me that was wonderful. Gaddafi was a Pisces. Now, you and I had a whole tweet rant about male
Pisces. You got me
Pisces
at a disadvantage.
And crazy, you know, I've had some interactions with male Pisces, and I'm a Pisces, but the woman is different than the man Pisces. I'm sorry, they're all bipolar. I hate to say that, and I'm sure there's some beautiful men Pisces, and if you are, please call in and express yourself. But you talked about male Pisces.
Not on that, so that's fine. We're going. You're not going to get me killed by the Pisces on the street. But anyway.
Are you serious?
No,
I don't. With me.
Well, just keep in mind, you know, there is no one size that fits all in astrology.
Yes,
and even
yes,
though we astrologers have both done a service and disservice to the general community, the service is that we, you know, are upholding a tradition that's 6,000, if not more, years old, that has its origins from the deepest parts of Africa all the way up into the steppes of Russia, you know, and near there and beyond. So it kind of has canvassed all the different parts of the old world, and also there are astrologies in the new world. But the thing to keep in mind where we've done a disservice is that a lot of times now people focus on the sun sign, when you were actually born, and then they come up with these certain traits that supposedly describe a person. Well, everyone is a reflection of a moment that's crystallized in time that we astrologers call an astrological chart. So we look at all the planets, not just the sun sign. The sun sign only tells one part of the story. Like if people were actually tuned
there's
that we could
fire,
play.
There's fire. There's different, but different signs have different elements, yes, like fire, earth, air, and water, right?
Right, but the planets are more important than the signs. That's where we've done the most injustice. If I had talked to someone 300 years ago and asked them about their quote-unquote signs, they would think that was odd. The syntax would be off to them. It would be like, you know, someone in English saying, the house, blue.
Mm.
You know, it's like, The emphasis in English is not on the actual noun in that way. We are describing the noun when we use the way we set up our syntax. As versus in astrology, people put a lot of emphasis on the signs and not where their planets are. The planets give you the most...
If somebody says they're going to do a reading about you, and they're only focusing on the sign, then you know they're not as knowledgeable as they say they are, yes? Is that you know, something...
Oh, you're a Gemini, this, and this, and your Mercury is in Gemini, and that means this, and this. I mean, that's one level of analysis that is important, but there are deeper levels. So what are the relationships of the planets to each other? In what areas of a chart? Because each area of a chart represents a different aspect of the personality and manifestation in the personality. So one also has to talk about that. And then talk about, for each one of those areas, there's someone called a lord or a lady who is the chief operating officer or chief of staff of each one of those areas, and talks about how those things are likely to happen and when those things are likely to happen in someone's.
Now,
so all that becomes important in really understanding the art of astrology. And a lot of people are just more familiar with just understanding the sun signs.
Now, in terms of, you talked about religion, a lot of people, and I'm just making a generalization, some people who are Christians, different denominations, are very against astrology, you know, and think that, you know, I don't know, just the devil's work, or, but there's a history, there's a intertwining of Christianity, yes, and astrology.
Yeah, well, there's an intertwining in history pretty much with all the religions, especially the Abrahamic religions and astrology. In fact, for all the Abrahamic religions, which includes Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all of them start with Abraham, who, in fact, was a Chaldean, which is known for astrology. So he was an astrologer, as an example. In fact, even in the Bible, it says that his children will be as numerous as the stars. He's actually looking at the stars because that's what he did. The only difference where Abraham made, according to the tradition, made a significant break is he took people away, his people, away from the worship of the stars to kind of look at the stars as a veil that veiled the real unseen manifestation of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Of the one
so
God.
So he was saying that it was behind this is God.
Correct.
That is just his cloak, like his cloak in a sense.
Correct.
Do you think it's a fate because you're a certain sign, you're born a Gemini, you're born a Pisces? I mean, as you're saying these things, you're saying there's different aspects to people, but then how does reality impact? You know, I'm a Pisces and I was born in Philadelphia on on February 23rd and 1970, blah, 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 blah. But there's another Pisces born in Vietnam on the same day, same time, and their social upbringing environment affects who they are, or does it? Am I stuck?
Right, that's a very good question. And it's one that skeptics like to use as to disprove astrology. And, I mean, it's a very simple answer, which is that the spectrum of who we are is rather vast. And what astrology attempts to do is narrow what are the variables in play and how are they likely to manifest. But how they manifest in particular places is going to change depending on the culture and also depending on the people around that person. So let's say there are two people who both have a penchant toward, having a bad temper or a very quick temper. If one is in an environment where they're steadily on edge and put into situations that are highly stressful where they have to defend themselves, that's going to be a trait that gets far more fed, to put it better, the best way I can. That's going to be a trait that really is supported. Whereas someone else in a different culture, in a different place, where that trait is not fed as much or nurtured, and they have other things to focus in on, doesn't develop the quick temper in the same way.
So it's
or
there, but it's
learn
it doesn't get
to
smart.
Manage it.
Learn
I'm sorry?
Yeah. No, it's there. Mm-hmm. The trait is there, but like you said, it's the synapse. Basically, I think in a physiological sense, you can say the synapses haven't been tapped into. You know, they talk about from the first year of life is the most important time, maybe even the first 6 months, even more so, where a lot of synapses in our mind are developed. So if you don't, listen to classical music when you're younger, you're not drawn to it maybe later, as opposed to someone who's been listening to classical music. Or if listen to rap, then maybe if you don't listen to rap when you're younger, maybe that synapse that is not developed. If you're not read to when you're younger, those skills aren't developed. So I think similar to our traits, it's
that's
that
absolutely
not been tapped into. Yeah.
I can give you an absolute, simple scenario. When I was younger, now I actually have strong Virgoan traits, very Virgo-like traits. The ruler of my chart is in Virgo. I have two other planets in Virgo, and I have Mercury as kind of what we call a kid, running around crazy in my chart. That's Peregrine in modern astrology. Anyway, when I was younger, I had a trait that inclined me toward OCD, meaning that I was very attentive to how everything was placed in my immediate environment. So I would have my toys at a certain angle. I would have them put a certain way. And I had invited a new friend over from off the block to visit me. And he was a normal kid coming in my room and, like, looking at my toys because I had a lot of cool toys and stuff. And he would be moving them. And I would go up behind him and move them and adjust and, like, and talk with them and try to be open.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, we had a good time and he left. And then my grandmother, wise woman that she was, asked me, like, well, how was your visit with your little friend? And I said, it was fine, but he kept moving my things. And I would have it a certain way, and I would show her. And then he moved them another way and blah, blah, blah. And she looked at me. Said, honey, you're going to have to let people play with your things sometimes or you ain't going to have no friends. And I got it. I was fortunate that I got it, what she was saying. Like, that's a little extra, son. You're going to have to let that go.
Right, right.
But grandmother said that at the right time, at that particular moment, that trait might have continued to develop, whereas, you know, I might have gotten to my 20s and gotten into, like, you know, well, no, you're doing this wrong, or, you know, please stand, like, at least 36 degrees on my right-hand side when we're walking. Some crazy stuff like that, you know.
All right, well, let's talk about 2012. We got a lot of things ending and some new beginnings. What's your forecast for 2012 in terms of, let's start with the weather. I had Michelle Indigo-Cello on. She has a new album called Weather. I want to give a shout-out to her. But let's talk about the weather. Are we going to have any more earthquakes, do you see, tsunamis? I mean, what's the deal with that?
Well, I actually just look at things seasonally. I focus mainly on people, and I focus mainly on ordinary people. Occasionally, I'm getting more to the point of doing celebrities, and I do focus a lot on economics and some aspects of politics. But in terms of weather, I do believe we are inclined, especially in the Northeast, I can't talk about for all parts of the country, to have a very challenging winter again.
Okay, yeah.
Some might say we didn't have a challenging winter, we just had winter. Which is fair. I mean, that's fair. But considering that we've had milder winters, I think we may be in stock for a different one. The earthquakes and different things like that, I do think some measure of that may continue. But I think we're going to experience more social earthquakes than the idea of just the literal earthquakes. You know,
what kind of social
earthquakes?
I mean, we've had a couple already. I mean, just recently here in Pennsylvania with the Sandusky thing is absolutely ridiculous. What other politically?
Sandusky and what happened to my alma mater, Syracuse University.
Syracuse.
And then there are several other stories coming to light now. Well, I think there's a bigger issue that is at stake, and people are waking up to it. Whereas that. Over the last 300 years in different permutations since the Industrial Revolution, we have been putting the idea of quote-unquote progress and gross materialism ahead of the development of people and our own consciousness. And I think people now are starting to see the physical ramifications of that, which comes to equal 99% being at the bottom rung, with another 1% being at the upper rungs because we've been tacitly or explicitly giving them that authority. And it's now we're going to become more...
Well, people don't vote, Sam. People don't vote. Most of the population does not vote.
I think it goes beyond voting.
Definitely.
I think it definitely should be people voting. I believe very much in that part of the political system. But it comes also in challenging all different levels of power. From, you know, this level of authority, you know, people who follow me on Twitter know that I talk about the level of authority with the police. I think police have gotten way too much power and authority in our communities. And we get baffled. When I say we, I'm talking largely about African-American communities. We seem to be troubled and baffled by, you know, and then perplexed by the murders and different things that happen with the police. Well, once you realize and look at them as an occupying force in a neighborhood in which they do not inhabit, well, militaristic or paramilitary force, you can start to see them in perspective. You know,
well, they don't have anything to lose. Like you said, they don't live there. They're not. It's not their neighborhood. It's the other. They look at you as the other. And not all police are bad. I have some friends who are police. But, yes, overall, like you said, they are occupying these neighborhoods that they don't
make
space for them.
That's not what And I'm not talking about individual police. Obviously,
right,
I think they always remember that these are people with families who are human. But the very structure of how the police works and their rights to have broad-scale surveillance of people, this idea that we should have more idea of police rather than communities having some measure of the ability to police themselves or doing that more, I think we need to have that adjustment. And then there's our police culture. You know, why are there 80 cop shows between 360 channels or more?
We talked about that on Twitter, too. Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, Blue Bloods was on last night. I remember I was watching that, and there's, like, so many other everything. And unfortunately, there's still these stereotypes of the big black man is the bad man, you know, the big the black woman sexual, you know, over-sexualized. I know Taraji, she's now on, Taraji P. Henson, she's on the show, and she's, I'm assuming she's a captain on that show, person of interest.
Right.
But she wasn't even shown on the cover when they were advertising. She actually got upset because when they advertised the show, they didn't put her as one of the people in the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's like racism
right
there.
A lot of this
right
is being sparked by the movement of a planet, Uranus into Aries. And if people go on my website, they do a search for Uranus, which is returnnumeral2thesource.com. Again, that's returnnumeral2thesource.com, and look up Uranus, U-R-A-N-U-S. They'll see that I've written about this Uranus and Aries aspect, which I've been anticipating for about 7 years. And
so
what's major
this
about
year?
This is...
This shift has started this year?
No,
it's been happening.
That started last year, but it's something... It kind of had its ground swellings last year, and then this has been the next stage of it. And we're going to see another stage. Occupy Wall Street is not dead. It's not over. It wasn't a flash in the pan. It actually is the beginning of a critique of a generation feeling divested of power, economic privilege, and advancement. So this generation is mobilizing, has been mobilizing for challenging some aspects of authority because they feel like they've been shafted. And in many ways, they have been. That is their mission. That is their destiny over the next 7 years. And then we go into Uranus and Taurus, which is to consolidate some measure of those efforts. Both of those.
So you think for the next 7 years that this transition is going to be happening, this type of
yes.
revolution, this gathering of people for the next 7 years?
Yeah, I do believe over the next 6 years, because it's already been in effect for a year, right? So
mm-hmm.
for the next 6 years and then going into Uranus and Taurus, I think there are a couple imperatives that become very important to look at. One, to kind of restructure our finances and really – to be very attentive to how we deal with those who are underprivileged and to really look at the notion of privilege. And that's a really complicated issue. It's not just enough, like, you know, get rid of the rich. You can't tell people that there's really just the power of evolution and everything's about how we evolve and then say, like, well, you can't, you know, hate on the rich. Because the rich can
yeah.
say, like, oh, I mean, so if it's survival of the fittest, I'm the fittest. Suck
right.
it up.
Right. Suck
you can't
it up.
Have
yeah.
both. You can't have both critiques operating at the same time. You have to talk about something beyond the two. And
well,
I think that
people are multifaceted, Sam. People are multifaceted and multi-capabilities, and that's what you were talking about earlier in terms of, you know, I'm a Pisces here in Philadelphia, and there's a Pisces in Vietnam, and, you know, the environmental issues that affect them. And is that Pisces over in Vietnam better or worse than I, you know? So there has to be some compassion or empathy, I think, and then balance, you know, in there. So.
Right. I think that's important. I think
I think the next stage
that's very important for our world to address is to really look at our relationship to war. Right now, that seems kind of distant for people. They're more concerned about economic disparities. But the last generation that went through this Uranus and Aries, it happened 83 years ago, and that was just at the start of the Great Depression in 1929.
Wow.
And then 7 years later was the militarization of Europe through Germany, and that became the brink of war. So I do believe, and this is especially true for the United States, because Uranus goes into Gemini roughly about 13 years from now. And the United States has never not been at war when Uranus was in Gemini.
Wow, so 13
so
years from now, I mean, is it going to be Iran? Is it going to be Russia? I mean, who are we going to be fighting with? Or is it just going to be on our land?
No, it is. I do recognize that the United States has been, I guess, angling, one way of putting it, for a fight with Iran for several years.
Yes,
and,
definitely. Taunting, I think.
I said
taunting in a sense, I feel.
Yes. And I think it has been taunting Iran, and, you know, it's also been having deteriorating relationships with Russia, somewhat with China, definitely with some aspects and parts of the Middle East. I mean, it's having deteriorating relationship with Pakistan. So all this does not augur well. And I don't think Pakistan is Iraq. I don't think it's going to be like, let's walk through and, you know, we take out their military and then we're just dealing with terrorists for the next 7 years. I think they have a very strong military. So I think another part of challenging corporate identities and structures is challenging how they have a vested interest, many of them, in war.
Well, it's a money-making business. I mean, when Bush, you know, right after 9/11, people felt that it was a money-making move, and many of he and his cronies made money from the war, you know, and now the, you know, soldiers are coming back, and, you know, how are they going to make money? I mean, so when you talk about the effects of war, just not on the economy, but the psychological effects, you know, we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, you're going to have a whole bunch of people, you know, they're coming back. How is our country going to deal with that, you know, that aspect of war, the after effect of war on the human
being? And I mean, I think one part of it, I think the other part is this generation kind of changing their model of social intervention. And one of the things that, you know, I cut some slack to with the people who participated in Occupy Wall Street is the fact that they are learning or will have to learn different protests or means of protesting than what happened in the 60s or what happened in the 70s. And that's because authority structures like the police have morphed and evolved. Unfortunately, protest structures haven't evolved in quite the same way or as rapidly. Of course, we do have the internet, we do have the World Wide Web, we do have some great innovations that we saw with Occupy Wall Street, like, you know,
people
one mic.
People have to be a little more creative. They have to be a little more creative to go to the next level, to break that next level. And
a little more creative and willing to lose and go for it all. I mean, really, that's really the lesson, because the generation that's being activated right now are largely the people who were born with Uranus and Scorpio. And my article on my blog on the website talks about the specific time frames for those people. And those who are born with Uranus and Scorpio are born to kind of go through and at the brink. So one has to be willing to, you know, be willing to get one's hands dirty a little bit. And when I say one's hands dirty, I'm not talking about any terrorist attack per se. I'm not talking about something, you know, doing something catastrophic.
You're willing to make sacrifice. You're going to lose something. You may lose some of your comfort zone to get what you want. You know, that's what you're trying to say.
And be willing to transgress. You know, like the one interesting thing about the police is that right now, in terms of their response to Occupy Wall Street, is that they really have sought to shrink more and more the means by which one can transgress. Yes, you can protest, but just on these certain days and along this strip of land.
At these certain times, right, And it was organized. Look how all the different states, different cities, all at the same time, for some reason, all at the same time, everybody had to move. Like here in Philadelphia, okay, now we have to do this construction. When did they decide that they were going to do some construction, some million-dollar construction? Why are you reconstructing the front of City Hall when the schools don't have books, kids don't have computers, after, you know, people trying to get to college and learn? I mean, you're going to spend millions of dollars redecorating the front of City Hall? What? I mean, anyway, we can't go on. We got to end the show, Sam. I just want to thank you again for coming on today.
I wasn't sure how long we were going. Okay.
That's okay. I just wanted to give, you know, a little more time because we started late and you have such a wealth, a breadth of knowledge. And I really enjoy talking to you. So follow him. You're on Twitter. Tell him your Twitter handle.
I'm SF, so that's Sam Fred, SF Reynolds, at Twitter.com. So SF Reynolds at Twitter. Also, I want to tell people to look up the Zodiac Lounge. So it's Zodiac Lounge. .info, and you can get information about our next Zodiac Lounge, because we're and another site to use is this.
Thank you for listening to the show today. It looks like we got cut off, but I just want to say again, thank you for listening to the show. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and I would love to hear from you, so send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You can also follow Samuel Reynolds at S as in Sam, F as in Frank Reynolds. Again, that's S as in Sam, F as in Frank Reynolds on Twitter. And you can find out about his Zodiac Lounge, and you can go to decemberzl.eventbrite.com. Again, for his December Zodiac Lounge, go to decemberzl.eventbrite.com. And his website is returntothesource.com. Again, returntothesource.com. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show.